Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, it's November and holidays will soon be upon us. For all too many, the season of stress. At middle age, we've all been down this holiday road before. This ain't our first rodeo, but to begin today's program, let me ask you a question, and please be honest with yourself. Do you look forward to the holidays with joyful anticipation, or do you dread all the things you need to accomplish to get ready? I know it's not fair, but you ladies tend to bear more than your share of the holiday preparation burden, I think. And do any of these sound familiar? You're scrambling around to get the house clean and spiffy before Christmas overnight guests arrive. You're charging down grocery store aisles, waiting in long checkout lines, and then spending all Thanksgiving or Christmas morning preparing meals, often for a large family group, and then you get to wash all the dishes after dinner. Or you're hanging Christmas tree lights, this is more for the men probably, haphazardly on a cold late November day, freezing your keister and trying not to fall off the roof that's probably slippery. At the last minute, you're frantically mailing cards and gifts to everyone on your list, trying to make certain you don't leave anyone out. And if you're traveling, you're planning flights, buying tickets, and then struggling through crowded airports or stop-and-go driving down a jammed highway made worse by the 6 to 10 inch snowfall from the night before. Or you're shopping with thousands of others at your local mall. Do people really enjoy going out to shop at 12:01 a.m. on Black Friday? Or you're worrying about what to say and how to keep your cool with your mother-in-law or Aunt Ruth, who always seem to rub you the wrong way. And I know this sounds crazy. When Christmas Day arrives, I often find myself bored and let down because I no longer have anything I must brush to do, and I'm so burned out, I'm too burned out to enjoy myself, and I say, is that all there is? And like my wife and me, do you then spend the week between Christmas and New Year's mostly decompressing from all the pre-holiday stress? It's crazy, isn't it? And I have a guest today who is going here to tell us how we can make the holidays less about stress and more about celebration. And here's an even better idea. Let's make this holiday season a positive dress rehearsal for stress-free living throughout 2015 and in the years to come. And actually, our guest, Dr. Elaine Ferguson, is a return guest on our September 29th program. Dr. Elaine talked about super healing, and she's here today to help us conquer stress over the holidays. And to refresh your memory, Dr. Elaine Ferguson, MD, is an Ivy League-trained physician. She's practiced holistic medicine for two decades. I hope more than 2 days, in both public and private practice. And she currently serves as senior medical director for the U.S. Postal Service Great Lakes area and author of the best-selling 2013 book, Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. And welcome back, Dr. Elaine. You're here at a perfect time right before the season of stress.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Mr. Richardson.
Sorry about those 2 days.
I love it. You know, I'm into eternality of time, so I love it. I'm going to use that.
Well, what are the most important keys to remaining cool, calm, and collected, and joy-filled over the holidays?
I know
there's a million different things, but
you brought up reading your litany reminded me of so many of my holidays that had preceded. I don't know if I was having flashbacks or not, but it felt kind of close.
Yeah.
Well, I think there are two major aspects. One is the timing issue. And so I really think planning out the holidays, which is what I'm doing this year,
yeah.
I'm writing a schedule and sticking to it because I've done in the past, and I'm sure most people do, we wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
So that's what causes us that time-related stress to get everything done because we know
awful.
We have to do it, but we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I recommend a schedule that we commit to sticking to, because I'm doing my cards soon before the holiday, before Thanksgiving. That's my plan. And
that's
mailing
great.
Them later, and you know, starting the shopping early instead of waiting until that rush.
Yeah, that's a. I don't
that's
see why people run out on Black Friday though. That always is.
Okay, that's it's utterly. I avoid all shopping areas on that day.
Yeah,
I think that is an exercise in group, brief, intermittent, or temporary. It is intermittent because it happens every year.
Yeah.
Group psychosis, because people really lose it on Black Friday.
Well, believe it, I think some of the young people must consider it a party. You know, now at the stores, a lot of them open it 1 minute after midnight. Some of them
I know, and now they're going to be open on Thanksgiving morning and Thanksgiving Day.
Well, that's great. Take that holiday away. Well, what's the second key beside the planning?
Well, the second thing, and you mentioned in terms of dealing with difficult relatives and friends that we know we have to see, everything that we feel is stressful is really a matter of perception.
Yeah,
so we have to reconfigurating our perceptions of that person that, you know, we anticipated being difficult.
Yeah.
So we can change that. We always have a choice in terms of how we respond. Even if our response previously was appropriate from our perception, it's not healthy if it's making us feel stressed, unhappy, and
yeah, and you raise
distressed.
A good point from our perception, and it's always, you know, if you think you're right and you're going to prove your point, you're never going to get along very well.
No, and your body's going to suffer more than anything else. We suffer when we're experiencing stress on a chronic basis.
You know, when you mentioned planning well in advance for the holidays, I think this is an idea that just came to me. How about setting goals not just for yourself, but for what you want your guests or family members or other people close to you, what they could take away from your time together, and, you know, making plans on how you could help other people achieve their goals for the holidays. That might be a good idea.
Absolutely. And I will tell you, the best holidays, and you're just making me think of this because I haven't done this recently, but the best holidays I've had are those that I didn't buy gifts.
Oh, yeah.
I'd make contributions to charities.
Yeah.
And gave of my time and in the name of friends and family, and they love that much more than me giving them something that they really didn't need in the first place.
Yeah, there's so many gifts that just, like our son sent her birthday was recently, they sent my wife a purse organizer that looked like something that came from a 5 and 10 store.
Mm-hmm.
Something she didn't want at all.
Yeah,
and he was well-meaning, obviously, but we always just send him a check because we don't know what he wants or what he needs.
Sure.
Maybe that's not the greatest either, because it's not really giving too much thought into what might be special for him. But, you know, to think about who you especially want to spend some time with and who most needs a lift of spirit, you know, that kind of thing, help out somebody that's been down in the dumps, maybe lost a spouse or a loved one or something, and you know, really concentrate on making Christmas or whatever the holiday is special for them. That might be a good tactic as well.
Absolutely. And I started this with my niece. She was 6 years old and she was the first grandchild on both sides, so her bedroom was a Toys R Us store. So I said to her, I said, could I, instead of me buying you something this year, because I buy gifts for children that might not get any that Santa might miss?
Yeah.
And she said yes.
That's wonderful.
And it was the best Christmas for me.
That always bothered me as a little kid, even when I knew that, you know, I was getting so much and there were other kids out there that had been just as good as I was. And yet for some reason Santa was ignoring them. Of course, by then I probably knew there wasn't really a Santa, but if any children are listening, please tune this out immediately. I shouldn't have said that.
Well,
there isn't a Santa.
Well, there's no Santa for big people. There's just Santa for little ones.
That's true. I think another key to removing the stress is to make peace with yourself and be realistic when it comes to strained relationships. Or, you know, I wouldn't worry too much if my house is perfect or not, because you know, I should be my own judge and not what someone else is judging my house not being neat enough or the meal not being good enough or something like that. And you know, if you're always worried about, you know, some relative or a close friend or someone else coming in and using a microscope to examine just how neat your house is, or, you know, picking through the food because they didn't like what you prepared, too bad.
Absolutely. One of the greatest ways I've learned to deal with people making snide comments passive-aggressively is to say to them, thank you very much, and I love you too. Honestly, it is the best. It just stops them dead in their tracks because it lets them know that you know, but you're not getting into an argument about it.
Yeah, that's true. It always takes two to tango in an argument. If you refuse to do that enough times, then hopefully the other person will give up trying.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, during your holiday preparation, say you're in a stressful situation, either at a store or on the traveling or whatever, what are some steps we can take to try to ease down when we get stressed out? Do you have any steps that you can take to calm yourself down?
Well, one of the things I do, this is my best-kept secret I'll share with you, I keep a bottle of theanine in my purse.
Oh.
Theanine is one of the best stress interrupters ever.
Oh,
it's an amino acid that's extracted from green tea, and
oh,
it has a very calming effect on the brain, but it also interrupts the stress response so your body doesn't have those palpitations and tightening of the muscles and all those things that are physiologically associated with the stress response. It stops it, but it's also very protective. It's what we call neuroprotective for the brain. So
that's not a prescription medicine.
No, it's an over-the-counter amino acid, theanine, THEA9NINE. THEA9NE. You can get it at any health food store.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'll have
and
to keep
it is
that in
truly.
Mind.
I've been using it and recommending it to people for about 3 or 4 years, and everyone I've recommended it to, they love it. It also helps lower the blood pressure. There's no toxic dose from the research, so you can titrate it. I mean, you can take as much as you feel that you need to see your body's response. Normally, about 400 to 600 milligrams per mild stress stops it immediately, within a half an hour.
But if I were driving on the freeway and pulled over and drank some of that, would it make me drowsy or anything?
No, that's the great thing about it. It's not like the drugs that make you drowsy.
Yeah.
Actually, it makes you more alert.
Oh, that's
in a good
great
way. It's really, honestly, the best stress interrupter I've ever found in the supplement sense.
How about other things like deep breathing exercises? Does that sometimes work? It never really worked for me that much, but I haven't tried it that much.
There you go. Absolutely. It's hard to do it when you're really feeling stressed. I tell people, you know, to try it. And if you're in a story, it's really a good thing to try to do. But you have to have practice before you get thrust into the situation that's causing you stress, because we should be deep breathing every day anyway. That's our normal physiological way of breathing. Most of us don't do that because we've interrupted that with stress breathing. The other thing I always tell people is when you're feeling really stressed, watch a comedy. Watch some comedy. It will stop. It really does. It is the best thing. You know, you cannot watch a funny movie and be upset at the same time. Something's going to have to give, and normally it's the being upset part.
Yeah, the thing I like to try is, and I'm not very good at, but I always plan, say, to do something on a particular day if I do have the plans in advance. But you should always have a backup plan that would allow you to move forward. Say I go to the mall on a Saturday, can't even find a parking space, the crowd is ridiculous, and I say, this is not for me. You know, I could go home and address some Christmas cards or do something else on my list so that, you know, just reschedule it. You don't have to lock yourself in, obviously, to do something specifically if there, you know, as long as you have a backup plan.
Absolutely. And I think the most important thing is not wait till the last minute to do it.
Yeah.
Now, here we are, the 10th of November, so we've got some leeway to really start looking at this and to plan ahead so we don't feel that last minute rush and stress.
Yeah, I think it's also good to shop with a relaxed person you love or admire and can chat with when the lines are long. And, you know, you can actually somewhat enjoy the crowds if you're with somebody else that's having a good time with you. But You can even make friends with other shoppers on missions that
while
you're waiting in line.
And shop it during the off hours if at all possible.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I avoid the malls on Saturday. It is just too... I can't take it personally.
No.
To the best of my ability, that's what
you
I do during
the holiday.
You have to
drive around for about 15 minutes just looking for a parking space.
Absolutely,
really,
yeah. I try to avoid, where I live, we have to drive past the mall to get to a highway. I just try to avoid getting to that highway on the weekends because it's so intense driving.
Well, let's say the holiday arrives and it's either at your home or someone else's home and it's filled with relatives, friends, in-laws, whatever. And someone intentionally or unintentionally says or does something that truly offends you, what are some good tactics to keep your cool? I guess you gave us one before, but how do you not strike back and say things you'll be sorry for later?
Well, as I said, if you know it's coming, and if you know how you can rehearse, you might not have the particulars, but you can have a few responses that can diffuse the situation.
Yeah.
Because we know the difficult relatives before they get to the door. You know? We know it's going to be. And the other thing really that I think is so wonderful is really bless that person and pray for that person beforehand, which is what we should be doing anyway.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
a gift. I've seen true transformation with people I don't even talk to when I do that.
You're talking about unconditional love where you're praying
absolutely.
For somebody. No, that definitely would... And if you do have to get into it with someone, maybe you could talk to the person alone, either, go outside or not for a fight, but you go outside or in a spare room or something, or maybe you call them on the phone later to work, express your feelings or something. But I certainly don't think you should do that right in front of the whole room.
Oh, no, that's going to be a holiday disaster.
Well, so far we've talked about the stress of big family gatherings, but here's a different kind of stress that I think is equally lethal, perhaps. What if you're in your 40s or 50s, even 60s, and alone this holiday season? Maybe you're divorced, widowed, never married, and your kids are gone, or maybe you never had kids, and you're no chance to see them this Christmas, and you have some friends, but they all have family plans, or you're going to be out of town or whatever. What can you do this season to assure that you're not all alone and blue on potentially the loneliest day of the year, which is like Christmas?
Some of my friends, and I think it's so wonderful, they go and volunteer. They go to the food places for the meals are distributed for homeless people. I can't think of the name. But you know what I'm talking about.
Soup kitchens or whatever.
Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But yes, just volunteering.
Yeah.
There's so many places where people are needed this time of year.
Yeah,
homes,
hospitals as a volunteer.
That
was my thought exactly. If I were all alone and really blue and didn't have anybody to talk to, what a great opportunity that would be to help others out, and you'd feel so warm yourself from doing it, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
And, of course, you can attend church services on Christmas Eve and share Christmas greetings and stuff or Hanukkah greetings if, you're Jewish or whatever. You just share with other people who of the same faith, and that would go a long way, I would think, to easing your loneliness.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between being alone and feeling lonely.
Yeah.
Because most of our lives are spent, singularly in that sense.
Yeah.
But so we don't, just because we're alone, we don't have to feel lonely and isolated.
No,
that's
too
exactly
right.
Perception.
If you sit around and feel sorry for yourself, then you don't have anyone to talk to. But on the other hand, you say to yourself, I'm who I am, and I'm very happy with who I am, and the fact that I'm alone this year is maybe unfortunate, but maybe on the other hand, it's a great day to read a good book and sit back and watch a few ball games on TV or whatever you want to do and, not make a big deal out of it.
One thing I know is that everything happens for a reason and all things work together for good. And the ones that seem to be the most challenging tend to have the greatest good hidden within that experience.
That's a very good point. Well, along with the stress created by the holiday season, another common hazard, as we all know, is overeating and weight gain. Okay. And as an MD, do you have any suggestions on how we can enjoy holiday food? Obviously, we want to have a good time without packing on 5 to 10 pounds of unwanted weight that we have to attack in January.
I wish I had a magic pill, but I don't, because I would take it. But, you know, the thing is that we have to plan. So what I do, and this has been very helpful for me, a couple of days before Thanksgiving, I fast. I do a juice fast, or I'll significantly cut my caloric intake for a few days, knowing that I'm going to eat a little more. And even on the day of, I don't eat as much as I normally do. I used to. I eat a lot of salads.
Yeah.
And it's just common sense. And we can do this, and we just have to maintain an awareness of what we're eating while we're eating it, and accordingly adjust in terms of the days that we're not at parties. We can eat a little less, and we can exercise a little more. So there are ways to get around it and still enjoy the holiday.
Yeah, that's just an excuse I think people use for letting themselves gain weight.
Well, yeah, probably.
Well, let's turn from the holiday season to talk about positive stress-free living throughout the year. What are some of the proven health benefits of an optimistic over a pessimistic outlook? I know we talked about some of those back in September, but
one of the things I love about being alive right now is the research in the field of positive psychology. And we know that there are specific health benefits for optimists in terms of it reducing one's risk of developing chronic illnesses. And even if one does develop them, the course of the disease is usually less impactful. It's less serious, even with hospitalization, compared to pessimists. But one thing I will say about framing it as optimist and pessimist, what we're really learning now is that being authentic is the critical aspect of our human experience. So,
being a fake optimist isn't going to do much good if you're not facing reality.
And trying to force it. We have to honor our feelings, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And what the research is showing now is that normally if we stay in the 80-20 field of 80% positive, 20% not as positive, then we're okay.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have those moments of feeling, you know, out of sorts. That's just part of our experience. And they are messengers. It's not something to be avoided. It's something to be honored and explored to give us greater insights into who we are.
Well, at midlife, say you're sick and tired of being stressed out and expecting the worst and routinely lacking in energy. Obviously, you've written a whole book on the subject, but what are a few initial super healing steps, as you call them, that you can take to get your life back on track? Can you give us just a couple suggestions?
Sure. Well, the most important thing that I've discovered over my 2 days of being in holistic medicine, I just love that, is that we really have to have the desire. Our desire, that energy behind wanting something, is what is really the foundation of all improvement. So you have to set your desire, decide what you want, fill it up with that energy, and focus on that. Set your intention, take action, and that's those three things really make a big difference.
Yeah, that's the holistic approach you talk about. Your mind, spirit, and body all have to be in line if you're going to really achieve that super healing you talk about, I guess.
Well, that's how we were designed.
Yeah.
We're designed to have vibrant health and well-being, and it happens when those three components of our being are in harmony with each other. It's when we're not in harmony, it's when we're not healthy.
Yeah, and that's why I think prayer is so helpful to so many people when they're calling on the spiritual, something outside themselves for the healing. It's such a great benefit rather than continually to try to the same old methods that haven't worked in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The internal method.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we're connected to something that's far greater than our individual selves that we're a part of. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your acclaimed book, Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create the Optimal Health and Well-Being. I know in there you promise a 40-day action plan, And what can your the reader accomplish using this plan in 40 days?
Well, I wrote the book partially because I was frustrated at what I saw going on in the world of alternative, integrative, and holistic medicine, because I really didn't see a focus on health. There's still very much a focus on treatment, in many regards very fragmented. So I wrote the book with the hope and the desire and the intent to empower people, number one, to realize how magnificent they really are.
Yeah,
and we don't talk about
that.
We have a profoundly amazing body, and most people don't even think about their body in that sense. I know I didn't. You know, we just slept around for the most part, and we complain about what's not working, but we don't.
Yeah, they only think about their bodies when there's pain or something negative.
Exactly. We just take it for granted for the most part. We give it minimal attention.
Yeah.
But this is really an awesome, and that's one of the best things that I learned in medical school, just how magnificent the body functions. It's just an amazing creation. So that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, and I start with introducing the body in that way to the reader, and every chapter is built upon the evidence-based research that documents the unity of mind, body, and spirit, and particular techniques that we can use and engage to help us come in alignment with our inner being and with that magnificent healing power that resides within each and every cell. And the 40-day action plan was designed to empower the reader to take the steps that he or she needs to do so to become healthier, because you can do this. You don't need a doctor. You don't need to get sick. It doesn't matter what your age is or what your condition is or what your family history is. We know now that it's how we live, not only physically but emotionally, that determines our health and well-being.
I think it's fascinating that your 40-day action plan is the same length of time that Christ spent in the wilderness.
40 days is really a magical number. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, well, where's the best place to preview or purchase your book? Where should somebody go to?
Well, if someone's interested, you can go to the book's website, superhealingbook.com, and
there's
the preface is downloadable for free, so you can get a sample of the book, and there's a link to the Amazon page for the book if you want to order it. But it's available in bookstores across the country.
Yeah, I could remind you also that you can find Dr. Elaine Ferguson's book on our MART website. We have a number of books on there through Amazon that you know, from some of the top guests we've had, and you know, and it's under the exercise and nutrition section, so you can go there also. If you're www.middleagerenewal.com, that's another place you can buy it. It's an excellent book. And in conclusion, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's Day, they're meant to be celebrated as peaceful, joyous, graceful, and warm, loving times, and it makes absolutely no sense to stress yourself out preparing or not getting along with someone on those days. And I strongly encourage you to plan well in advance and then take it easy and have a good time this year end. And if you make it through the holidays joyful and stress-free, you'll have a clear sign that you can live the same way during the rest of the year. So let's make the holidays not just a time of giving, but also a season of taking away the stress, lingering hard feelings toward others, and our constant rush to get things done. And Christmas Eve, indeed, then can be for you a night when all is calm, all is bright, as in the hymn, and so also can be the other 364 days of the year. And thank you so much, Dr. Elaine. As always, your super healing advice is very sound.
Well, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
And have a great Thanksgiving and holiday season yourself. And
you too.
Hope all the listeners do also.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
As we're driving along the highways and byways, we often see signs warning of potential hazards, deer crossing, sharp curves ahead, railroad crossing. As we sail down the highway towards the holidays, here's a personal road sign none of us should ignore: potential holiday weight gain ahead. A recent scientific study indicated that the average American gains 1 to 2 pounds every year over the holidays. And now that we're at middle age, many of us are less active than we were in our 20s and 30s, and weight gain seems to come easier, doesn't it? And if we don't watch out, before long, our midsections may start to shake like Santa's bowl full of jelly. And to help us maintain our weight and stay friends with our scales, we call once again upon our weight control expert, Linda Spangl. And to refresh your memory, Linda's a weight management coach and leading authority on emotional eating and other psychological issues related to weight gain. And over the past 20 years, she's counseled more than 2,500 clients and taught several thousands more in seminars and workshops. And she's authored 3 books, including Life is Hard, Food is Easy, and Friends with the Scale, which we discussed on prior programs. And she's a registered nurse with a master's degree in health education. And hello, Linda, and welcome back. You're just in time before we stuff ourselves with Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, thank you. And boy, you're right. It is a hazard, isn't it, this time of year?
Well, you counsel clients throughout the year to avoid emotional eating. What are some of the behaviors that work against us, especially during this holiday season?
You know, I think there's a couple of things. It's so easy to get caught up in the high activity and high stress times that
yes,
a lot of times people forget to take care of themselves. And
yeah.
I just think you've got to sometimes slow down, take a few minutes for yourself somewhere. One of my favorite little exercises is the 7 breaths, where you just take 7 slow, deep breaths, but you make each one slower and deeper than the one before.
Oh,
and what's interesting, you usually lose count at about number 5.
Yeah. No, it's so easy when you're at the mall to stop at all those refreshment stands when you're rushing around, or when you're sending Christmas cards to snack on those crackers with cheese on them and you know, all those things that what you'd call emotional eating, I guess.
Yeah, you know, they just slide in so easily. You know, sometimes it's because we just are busy or tired or stressed, or we want a little entertainment. And one of the cool things that I think helps for that, I teach people practice saying no. Stand in front of a mirror and practice saying the word no, and then follow it with things like, no, I'm not going to eat those snacks that are in the kitchen.
Oh,
no,
great.
I'm not going to stop at that cookie place in the mall. No, Mom, I'm sorry, I can't come over tonight. Just practice it,
yeah.
And then
no,
it gets easier to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think another hazard that we face during the holidays is we feel like eating out of obligation. You know, we have that big turkey dinner that we don't want to go to waste, or, you know, Mom baked all those Christmas cookies and the whole family feels obligated to eat them.
Yep. Well, I've got a couple of great ideas for that whole challenge, if you will. And
yeah.
These work especially well at Thanksgiving. One of them is, I call it the 1 tablespoon plan.
Oh.
And that is when you're dealing with a meal, like a Thanksgiving meal,
yeah.
You can plan the foods that you're going to eat, but then you look at everything served and you pick out the ones that just call your name, the ones that are to die for.
Oh, yeah.
And what you do, though, is you plan to have a 1 tablespoon serving of those. I've had people that had 1 tablespoon of pumpkin pie, 1 of mashed potatoes, and 1 of stuffing, and then said, that's all I needed because I got the taste.
Well, that's great. I didn't think of that idea, but you know, it's so hard sometimes. What's a good way to tell the host or hostess that you really don't need that dessert without offending them? That's what's, maybe you just take a table or a teaspoon worth, like you said.
I think that is one of the best ways to manage it, is doing a small taste. But another thing is appreciate the people and more than the food.
Yeah,
and you can say to a host, you know, you make the most wonderful meals, and I'm so grateful for everything that you do. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat much on the dessert today because I'm working on, you know, a little healthier patterns, but you are fantastic. See, that way you don't worry about hurting their feelings because you've given them what they want.
You know, if you plan ahead of time that you're really going to not gain weight this Christmas or this holiday season and Thanksgiving, et cetera, and then you discipline yourself in advance not to do that, you're going to enjoy the holidays even more, and you'll especially enjoy January when you don't have to make those New Year's resolutions to take all
that extra weight off. That is so true.
Here is a holiday weight control suggestion a lot of us have heard. starve yourself all day, maybe even the day before the big Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Oh, that's like one of the worst things you can do for a couple of reasons. One of them is when you undereat, then your body tends to hold on more to what you do eat so that you're likely going to have some of that stick around anyway.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, if you don't eat much during the day, you can try to, quote, save up the calories for the evening. What happens instead is you get overly hungry and you lose all form of self-control and you eat way more than you should. So that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Is there any kind of a snack food you can snack on beforehand to, you know, instead of just refraining from eating anything, something that won't put on a lot of weight before that big meal?
Right. I think sometimes eat a piece of fruit before you go to an evening meal, because that way you got a little something, or even something like a mozzarella cheese stick, just something that takes the edge off a little bit. And here's another one. For people who are used to having alcohol, like a glass of wine or something, drink a large glass of water before you have your alcohol drink. The reason is you'll slow way down, because sometimes we slug down the first glass of wine kind of fast because we're thirsty.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea, but I know an obvious suggestion for avoiding excess weight is to eat slowly and savor your food, and that sounds great, but how do you accomplish that when you're beckoned by that super tempting holiday buffet or the hors d'oeuvre table with all those little fancy little snacks?
Yeah. You know, I think, again, there's an idea that might help for that. I call it the tasting diet. You say to yourself, okay, here's this wonderful party or buffet I'm at, and what I'll be is I'll be on my tasting diet, which means I get to have a small taste, as much as, you know, a teaspoon or so of different things so that I can see what they're really like. Pretend like you're a chef and you're checking it out. And the interesting thing is, you'll find a lot of times that you separate which tastes you love and the ones that are pretty ordinary or not so great, and it cuts way, way down on the volume.
Yeah, I think it helps to have a small plate when you're in a buffet or something like that.
You know,
that,
and that's one of the tools
plate.
That's been promoted a lot. Personally, I don't get too hung up on that. I think that, you know, the idea is that small plate tricks you into thinking you're not eating, you know, that you're eating plenty. I think there's other ways that you can just be very genuine with yourself, like just looking at managing the amounts in different ways instead. But, you know, if a small plate helps, that's good.
Yeah, it's so much more valuable to enjoy and really savor the food rather than wolf it down so you can get back to get the other good stuff before somebody else does.
Oh, I know it. We have a joke in my family where we say, I got to hurry up and get to the food before the selfish people do.
Yeah. Well, if we do gain a few pounds over the holiday, what's the best way to get back on a sensible weight control program in January? And why do lose weight New Year's resolutions so often fail?
You know, I think it's because we expect miracles. We think, oh, I'll be back on it, and I'll just do great. And the real life is still there. You were mentioning my books earlier, and the one book, 100 Days of Weight Loss, I think is an excellent resource for people at the beginning of the year because it has little tiny lessons. You read only 2 pages a day, and each lesson gives you a little tool to use in your work and in your life. And to me, that's one of the best ways to get back on track and stay there because you're building for long term.
Yeah, and I know you have like 100 little lessons that in there. Give us one or two as an example.
Sure, absolutely. One of my absolute favorite ones is don't eat because it's there. That means that if you walk into the store and somebody's handing out samples, you tell yourself, no, wait a minute, that food is simply there, and I don't eat because it's there. I eat to put fuel in my body, or I eat to appreciate really special flavors like my mom's candy or cookies or something, but not the little sample they're handing out in the store. That one has saved me from so much struggles over the years. I love that one.
And that book is 100 Days of Weight Loss, The Secret to Being Successful on Any Diet Plan. And as you point out, that's not a diet book. There's zillions of those out there. It's a diet companion book, I guess you call it.
Right. It absolutely is.
Yeah, and you can, you concentrate on consistent long-term lifestyle changes that make a difference, and that's so crucial rather than, you know, the latest fad diet that you're on and then you gain the weight all back.
Sure enough. You know, here's another thing for both holidays, of course, and long term is don't let up on exercise. It is an important thing. And I think through the holiday season, I encourage you guys as close to daily as you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the cold places of the country, which you and I are in, I think it works good to go to an indoor mall, but go really early or right before it closes and when there's not big crowds. And then you just walk up and down there and get a bunch of steps in right there at the mall.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And I mentioned your other books, Friends with a Scale and Life is Hard, Food is Easy. And Friends with a Scale is also a real good one because I think people really learn to hate the scale in January after they've been ignoring it during the holidays. They say, well, I don't want, you know, this is the holiday season. I'm not going to look at my weight. And then they have a real unpleasant surprise in January and blame the scale for it.
Yeah, or they don't even get on the scale because they know it'll be bad. I think a better direction by far is during the stretch of time here between Thanksgiving and the first of the year to make it a point to weigh yourself perhaps even every day, but for once a week, and just stay honest with yourself about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's like I said before, you'll feel really good about the holidays if you're able to exert that self-control and keep yourself from eating too much, and you'll have a happy holiday season. There's plenty of other things to do during the holidays other than eating, too. You know?
Yep, absolutely. I think, again, I'm just going to say this, self-care, I think, is so crucial. Taking time for yourself, taking a few minutes sometimes of just sitting and being kind of quiet. And I have a friend who says to her husband, can you simply take care of the kids for the next hour? I need a break.
And
something like that can work, just to give yourself a respite from the high-end activities and stuff so that you don't just go, oh, well, who cares? Because that's what we do.
No, well, I want to mention that all three of Linda's books are available in our Mart bookstore. That's www.middleagerenewal.com. But where else can people go to preview and purchase your books?
Certainly. They can go to my website, which is weightlossjoy.com. And then, of course, the books are also available on Amazon as well as in other countries on Amazon.
Yeah, that weightlossjoy.com has a whole lot of resources, including a number of free resources that really can help you orient to keeping that weight off and keeping the discipline. I think it's great. And let's all follow Linda Spangle's advice and maintain our mental and emotional discipline and keep the extra weight off over the holidays. And if you don't, I recommend Linda's 100 Days of Weight Loss book to get you back on track. And thanks so much, Linda, for coming back, and have a great holiday.
And thank you so much. The same to you and to all the listeners. I wish you all the best.
And all of you out there, do the same and keep it thin. As this program debuts, it's the week of Thanksgiving and that new national holiday created by our friends the merchants, Black Friday. You know, you really don't want to get into all that shopping frenzy, do you, of Black Friday? I'm sure I don't. I've got a couple of options for you that you might want to consider. First of all, books make a great holiday gift for friends and loved ones. They're inexpensive, meaningful, and the good ones just keep giving. And second, it's possible to order books perfect for friends and loved ones right from your computer. But you know that, of course. But how about books related to various aspects of midlife renewal, all from one place without an extensive search for books that might be right? And I'm talking about our brand new Mart bookstore. You can go to www.middleagerenewal.com and then just click on the store tab at the top of the page to go to our bookstore. And regular listeners will know that we feature some of the most inspirational guests available on various aspects of midlife renewal, and many of them have written books, and we feature the best of these books right in our store. Our store is organized into five sections to cover the five interests, challenges, and desires of those you are gifting, if you're gifting someone of middle age. And the five sections are personal midlife renewal. How about titles like this, Getting Older Better by Pamela Blair, PhD, or Attitude Reconstruction, a Blueprint for Building a Better Life by Jude Bijou, or don't forget my own renewal guidebook, standard on this program at least, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. The second section is Business, Leadership, and Career, again oriented toward middle-aged folks who are moving into leadership positions or want to further their career. How about titles like Creating a Thriving Business in 7 Easy Steps by George Horrigan? These are all former guests. Career Mapping, Creating Your Course in the New World of Work by Jenny Clark, or The Missing Piece of Leadership by Doug Krug. And then our third section is Marriage, Parenting, and Relationships, and we're all going through that in middle age. Books like The Solution-Focused Marriage by Elliot Connie, and again, our books focus on long-held marriages and how to make them better. Finding Love Again by Dr. Love, Terry Orbach, Ph.D., for those who have lost their marriages and want to start over or looking for romance over 40. Or how about Raising Children That Other People Like to Be Around by Richard E. Greenberg. And then we have a section called Exercise and Nutrition. Books like Ageless Living by Rico Cavaglia. He's an exercise guru I met in person, and I thought he was about 45. It turns out he's in his 70s. That's how fit and good he looks. Or how about a book by today's guest, Friends with the Scale, by Linda Spangle, who, of course, we just had on. Or how about a book by our other guest today, Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Soul, by Dr. Elaine Ferguson, M.D. That's also available on our March store. And last but not least, a section on spiritual connection, all about prayer, meditation, and the afterlife. And I would highly recommend books like Soul Healing Miracles, by Dr. and Master Zhang Shaw. And he's a most intriguing guest because he was from China and combines ancient wisdom of the Chinese medicine with recent. So I think he's also a Western physician. So it's a really interesting book. And another book I would on this spiritual section that I would highly recommend is Answers About the Afterlife, a private investigator's 15-year research unlocks the secrets of the life after death, or the mysteries of life after death, by Bob Olson. And you may recall Bob from a recent program. He's one of the most intriguing and interesting guests we've ever had. And there's a whole bunch of other books on prayer and spiritual meditation in that section. You know, we're affiliated with Amazon, so we guarantee the same low prices as on their site, but without the hassle of looking through a vast number of categories that they have on their vast website. But in total, we offer over 100 books on topics related to midlife renewal, all in our handy site. And for your convenience, we also offer a few standards in addition to guests we've had on the program. We offer standards like The Secret by Rhonda Byrne, Good to Great by Jim Collins, that classic book about leadership and organizations and companies, and How to Win Friends and Influence People. Now, there's a real classic, decades old, but still great reading by Dale Carnegie. So if you see any book of interest on our website, you can click on it, and you'll receive a brief, concise description, an author bio, and some reviews. And then if you want to purchase that book, you just click on Add to Shopping Cart, and you can complete the transaction. And as I said, we are affiliated with Amazon, so you'll get the same low price and delivery terms as they give on their site. So if you have friends or loved ones facing challenges we all face at middle age, a book from our Mart bookstore may be the perfect gift without the shopping hassle. And how about a gift for yourself this Christmas season or this holiday season? You want to start off the new year with a bang and shake off the doldrums, stop sleepwalking through life. This is the place to go, or maybe you want to lose some weight and get in shape. We have books for you on that subject, too. You know, I recently walked through the self-improvement section of a big bookstore here in town, and their selection there was much less intriguing and much harder to find books of interest than you would find right on our website. So stay home this shopping season and buy books from Mart. That's www.middleagerenewal.com, and then click on the store tab. And that's our program for this week. We certainly appreciate you tuning in, and we hope you'll join us again next week when we'll cover other subjects related to the holiday season and getting prepared to have the best holidays ever. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.